I didn't give Pete's story another thought. The instant I walked away, it left my mind completely, instantly, totally, absolutely, without a trace or a memory, just as though I'd never heard it. I mean, when you've been in this business as long as I have, you learn to disregard the testimony of cats. Whereas your top-of-the-line Blue Ribbon cow dog will always tell the truth, never mind the consequences, your typical cat will go out of his way to tell a shabby distortion of the truth. I mean, they do it just for sport, which is why I have never paid the slightest attention to anything Pete. But on the other hand, it was kind of a fascinating lie. It showed some imagination and... Phantom dog, huh? Living in a mirror. I wondered where a dumb cat like Pete had... I mean, you wouldn't expect a dumb cat to... But as far as giving Pete's story a second thought, no way. I had work piled up and investigations to make, and then there was the matter of supervising Mr. Neversweat, my assistant head of ranch security, which would have been enough of a job in itself. No, I had plenty of things to... Take over the ranch, huh? You know, there are some things I'll tolerate in another dog, but when it comes to my territory, I get real serious real quick. I mean, the last dog who tried to take over my ranch. Anyways, I didn't give it another thought. Within minutes, I'd forgotten about it. It just went in one ear and out the other. No problem. I threw myself into a very busy schedule that would have exhausted three ordinary dogs. Hey, I was covered up with work. I barked at the mailman at 10 o'clock, chased two cars and a pickup on the county road, rushed back to do a routine patrol of the corrals, and did some long-range observation of Loper as he struggled through Operation Honeydew. He and Sally Mae stayed very busy down there at the house, raking the yard, picking up limbs, putting up Christmas lights, sweeping and cleaning. This party for the church choir was looking more and more like a big deal. At one point, around noon, as I recall, I overheard Loper say to his wife, "Nobody is worth all this trouble. This is the last party we'll ever have." But the important thing is that throughout the entire afternoon, I didn't give one minute's thought to Pete's yarn. By 5 o'clock, I was worn out and still had night patrol ahead of me. I trotted down to the gas tanks and found Drover curled up on my gunny sack bed. Why can't Drover sleep on his own gunny sack? I don't know. But given a choice, he will always pick mine. Arise and sing, half-stepper, and make way for the night patrol. And get out of my bed. Out, scram, be gone. It took some pretty severe growling to get his attention. But at last he staggered out of my bed and fell into his own. At that point, I fluffed up my gunny sack, circled it three times, and collapsed. Oh, that felt good. I melted into its warm embrace, closed my eyes, and drifted off into... I couldn't sleep. Heck, I was tired enough to sleep, but for some reason, I kept thinking about a stray dog in the machine shed. Yes, I knew that was ridiculous, but sometimes a guy gets a ridiculous thought in his head and he can't get rid of it. So at last I gave up trying to sleep. I stood up, gave myself a good stretch, and decided, well, if I couldn't sleep, then maybe I ought to check out the machine shed. For several days, I had tried to work the machine shed into my busy schedule, and it had nothing to do with Pete's wild, improbable, silly story about the so-called Phantom Dog. I wasn't about to change my schedule just to prove to myself that Pete was a chronic habituating liar whose story I didn't believe. In other words, Pete's story had nothing to do with my going into the machine shed that afternoon. I'd had it on my schedule for days. Weeks, actually. A long, long time. checking out the machine shed was just a routine matter. I did it all the time. And so it was perfectly natural, perfectly normal that at 5:07, I poked my head into the space between the two sliding doors and peered into the half-darkness of the machine shed. And I want the record to show that I didn't even look towards the mirror. No, sir, didn't even think of looking at it. I had virtually forgotten Pete's stupid story anyway, and I had other things on my mind, such as A, B, C, and D. Those were exactly the four items I had on my mind, and I'll come back later and add the details because, well, they've slipped my mind at the moment. But let the record show that I had four important things on my mind, not one of which involved checking out that mirror. Okay. I poked my head through the crack in the doors, ran a quick nosatory scan, and sent the info to data control. The report came back and showed traces of diesel fuel, livestock mineral blocks, ordinary barn dust, and mouse leavings. No major clues there, so I slipped through the doors and moved on silent paws across the cement floor. There, on that same cement floor, I came upon fresh evidence of cowboy activity. Two welding leads, four stubs of welding rod, an empty pair of welding gloves, a welding hood, and several burn and splatter marks on the cement. Someone had been welding. That was simple enough, but how did I know that the welder had been a cowboy? Because he hadn't put his equipment back where he'd found it. That was a dead giveaway. These cowboys around here are experts at getting out a bunch of tools and making a big mess, and then rushing off to something else. That's a pretty poor way to run a ranch, if you ask me, but nobody ever does, so I'll keep my opinions to myself. I picked my way through and around the debris and continued my routine check of the machine shed. Everything appeared to be normal, and yet I couldn't shake the feeling that it was too normal and too quiet, almost as though, at that moment, I noticed a large mirror located near the north wall. I don't know what drew me over there to the gloomy, shadowy region of the shed, but suddenly I was grabbed by a feeling. Somebody or something was lurking inside that mirror, and he was watching me. If you've been in security work as long as I have, you learn to pay attention to such unexplicable feelings. You don't have to understand them or know where they come from. You just listen to them, knowing in your deepest heart and mind that they have nothing to do with anything Pete the Barn Cat may have said. So I zeroed in on the alleged mirror and began creeping towards it on ultra-silent paws. Tail straight out, ears up in Max G, shorthand for maximum gathering mode, and nose radar working at top capacity. Closer and closer I moved, hardly daring to breathe. The mysterious feeling that someone or something was present in the shed grew stronger with every step. Cold chills began rolling down my spine, and the pulse in my ears was pounding like a drum. Was I scared? Not really. I'll admit to feeling a certain sense of excitement, tension, aloneness, foreboding. The awful silence of the place seemed to be closing in on me. And all right, I might have been just a bit scared, but not much. I had drawn to within 6 feet of the mysterious looking glass when suddenly I found myself staring into his eyes. I didn't bark a challenge right away, but rather went to full reverse on all engines. After running backwards for a moment or two and stumbling over the stupid welding leads, I regained my composure and issued a stern bark. that point, I faced a heavy decision. Should I return to the point of my deepest penetration into the machine shed and confront the phantom dog in the looking glass? Or should I leave the machine shed and go on about my business, confident that I had fulfilled the minimum requirements of a routine check? Your ordinary run of ranch mutts would have shut her down right there, or maybe gone to the house to bark an alarm. Me, I wasn't quite ready to go public with this case until I had confronted the villain. I mean, that guy in the mirror might have some crazy notions about taking over my ranch. And if that's what he had in mind, I figured we might as well cross that bridge before we came to it. And the sooner the quicker. I went back for a showdown.